Well, we're going to talk about something that keeps on popping up, and people continue to ask, how do we know the will of God? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning, knowing the will of God. I believe that's probably one of the most important things for every one of us, Amen. Is to know God's will. You know, sometimes our will comes in a confrontation with God's will. And then we realize that we have some homework to do. We have some changing to do. We cannot afford to step out of God's will to do our own thing, because that's when we step out of the blessing, we step out of God's protection, and we step into a world that is cold and lonely and dangerous when we just do our own thing. Now, doing the will of God doesn't come without challenges. I think most of us know that. You got to lay down your life so that you can do what God expects of you. You know, God created every one of us for a specific reason. And when we step into that reason, that's when things begin to change for the better. When you step into what we call purpose, that is when we begin to experience the goodness of God, we begin to experience the blessing of God, and we experience His protection, His provision. And God's not going to provide for us when we do our own thing. No. I don't think he's gonna settle for that. No, we are here for a reason and a purpose, and when we step into that, that's when the windows of heaven open. We can pray for it to open, but when we do our own thing, they just remain shut. Amen. All right. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is a blessed church, you know. Amen. You better believe it. This is a blessed church. When the church is blessed, everybody who that is a part of the church is also blessed. And sometimes it seems like the devil is stealing the blessing, but it always comes back. It always comes back. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Sorry, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, this is serious. This is very serious. When Jesus says that not everybody will enter into the kingdom, except those who do the will of our Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. Now, what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is to do your own thing and not God's will. That's lawlessness. Well, I think this is probably one of the most serious passages in the Gospels. Well, Jesus is just talking very straight talk here. And either he knows what will happen if we don't do the will of God, or he's just trying to get somebody's attention. I think he's serious about this. This is very, very serious. Now, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Well, that's what happens when we do the will of God. The winds will come, floods may come, rain may come, but the house will stand. There'll be tough times, but the house will stand. That's that is what we all want. We want our house, our spiritual house, to stand. And he says, here's how you do it. Become a doer of the word. Just do what God tells you to do. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them as one with authority and not as the scribes. Well, the scribes were just talking, right? Jesus, they were just talking out of their heads. But Jesus was talking out of his heart. Now, when we talk about the will of God, there's a few things that we need to consider. First of all, I believe, because the Bible says, that there's the general will of God for every one of us. Every one of us, as we come into the kingdom of God, there is the will of God that we all need to do. Every one of us. We read that it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to that saving grace, that saving knowledge of the Son of God. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for every person that is born into this planet of ours. The will of God is that person will be saved, that person will bow the knee before Jesus, that person will step into the will of God and receive eternal life. That's the will of God for every single person. Now, the general will of God is also for us to be baptized. We read that the Pharisees and the scribes did not come for baptism because they rejected the will of God. They rejected the will of God. That's the will of God for us, that everyone should be baptized. That's the general will of God. Also, that we become disciples. That we become disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a student, somebody who learns, somebody that learns, somebody that studies. What do we study? We study the Word of God. We listen to our teacher, which is Jesus, today speaking through the Word of God, the Bible that we have, and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We obey his voice. We learn from him. We become students. We become disciples. It's also the will of God for every one of us to make disciples. Now, we developed a term in the church, or I don't know where it came from, where it says we lead somebody to the Lord. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, you know. It says make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples, make students, get people to follow him and teach them, he said, all these things that he taught us. It's also the will of God for us to sanctify ourselves. Jesus speaking through Paul, says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification, what's that? That's the process of cleaning up our lives. We know that that job will only be finished on the last day. We know that. So there will always be work to do. But it's a process. It's a process that should be present in everybody's life. The will of God is our sanctification. Separating ourselves more and more from the world and separating ourselves more and more unto God. That's the process of sanctification. And that's the will of God for every one of us. It's the will of God that we would seek the kingdom of God, first of all. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the will of God for all of us. That we will seek his kingdom first and foremost, and above all things, and be busy with those things. So these things And as you study the Bible, you'll find much more. Just the general will of God for everybody that comes into the kingdom, things that God expects of us to do. Amen. You come into the kingdom, you're going to change. Are you going to change? And a lot. You're going to change a lot, not just a little. It's a lot. Which means everything is going to change. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we live, everything is going to change. The way we conduct our homes, our families, our marriages, our finances, everything changes when we come into the kingdom of God. Are we okay with that? Okay. Everything changes. That's the general will of God. The second thing I want to look at this morning is prayer. You know that there is a way to pray, and the Bible teaches us how to pray. We do not pray just all our selfish ambitions and selfish little dreams and stuff like that. We need to pray what God wants us to pray. Now remember, God has a dream for the world that we live in. God has a dream. We already said that. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the will of God. We should be involved in that. Even in our prayers, we should pray that. You know, Paul spoke to Timothy and he said, I want you, first of all, to pray for people in leadership positions, kings and so on, and for all men. So that, that's the will of God, and that's where he said that nobody, God doesn't want anybody to perish. But now, we don't always know how to pray according to the will of God, because we don't always know the will of God for certain situations. I don't know about you, but boy, I tell you, there were times when I'm glad God did not answer all my prayers. And you've been a Christian long enough, you'll know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you pray for this thing, and in the end you see, oh boy, I'm glad God did not answer that prayer. Things would have gone wrong. Things would have gone wrong. That's why we need to know the will of God so that we can pray. That's the prayer that God wants to answer. The prayer that is according to his will. That's the prayer that God wants to answer. And if I may say so, as we'll read, he's not going to answer any other prayer. I'm sorry to disappoint us, but he's not going to answer any old prayer that we pray. We need to pray according to his will. He's not going to do something that he doesn't want to do. So don't pray outside the will of God. Well, how do we pray the will of God? First of all, I believe the word of God is the will of God. And when we find ourselves, as Jesus said, in the word and the word in us, then we will pray according to the word. And so I think one of the most powerful prayers that we can pray is just praying the Word of God back to God. It's just echoing back to God what He said. Because God's Word has power. It has creative power. And when we begin to speak that power, those words, these words of God, out of our hearts, boy, there's power that's released. That can change things. It can change people. It can change situations. So we must be careful in the way we pray, that we always make sure we pray according to the will of God. All right, let's go to Scripture. Romans chapter 8. Very well known. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8. And verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us when we don't know how to pray. We are in a situation, we just don't know what the will of God is for that situation. We just don't know. Then the Bible says the Spirit will do intercession for us. It means the Spirit will pray on our behalf. It says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, we know from Scripture, especially the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, if you want to know, is that when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you with His fullness and His gifts, of which there are nine, one of those gifts is to pray in tongues, other tongues. One of those gifts is to pray in other tongues, to speak in other tongues, which means, Paul says, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, says, when my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. My spirit's praying, but my mind doesn't know what it's praying. That is praying in tongues. And this is what this means. So when we don't know what to pray as we ought to pray, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We just don't know how to give utterance, how to give expression to what's inside of us, because we don't know. Our mind doesn't know that. But the Spirit knows. Amen. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. He knows the will of God. It says there, now He, God, who searches the hearts, knows what the spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. He knows the will of God. And so when we find ourselves in a situation where we just don't know what to do, well, then you allow the Spirit to pray through you. You allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. He will come and He will pray the will of God, and then God will answer that prayer, because we have a promise, and we'll get to that in a minute. We have a promise that when we pray according to the will of God, God will answer that prayer. And we can pray with confidence when we pray according to the will of God. I would just venture to say that praying in the Spirit is always right. It's always right to pray in the Spirit. It's always right. And so God gave us this very, very powerful gift to use, because He wants us to pray His will, so that His will can be done. 1 John chapter 5. And verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. Right at the back of your Bible. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Confidence that we have in Him. Boldness. Confidence. You know, when we know the will of God, we have confidence. And we can pray boldly. You know, when people don't know the will of God, that's when they beg. But God doesn't want us to beg. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to have confidence in Him. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We know that. We know. That's a prayer of faith. That's a prayer. You pray the will of God. Boy, you reach out in faith, because you know that's the will of God. And you're bold in that prayer. You come with great boldness, because now your prayer is one with the will of God. You pray the thing that God wants to do. Why? He's going to answer that prayer. You pray the very thing that God desires to do for you and in you and through you. It says we have confidence when we pray according to His will. So, you know, when we pray, we need to establish what the will of God is before we pray. Amen. Because we want to pray accurately, right? You just don't want to sit there and waste a lot of time just praying things a prayer that's not going anywhere at all. You want a prayer that's going to be answered. I don't know, but I think Christians should not be satisfied with praying prayers that have no answer. We want to pray prayers that have answers. And here we are taught by the Word of God how to pray according to His will. It says that is how we get answers to our prayers. We need to find the will of God first. Now, just coupled with that, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you don't have to go there. It says that in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. So it seems to me that when we have to give thanks in everything, that complaining about everything is not the will of God. When things go wrong, don't go into complaining mode, because then you step out of the will of God. Because the will of God for us is to give thanks in everything, not for everything. There was a time when somebody wrote a book and everybody liked the book, and it said that we need to thank God for everything. Well, I'm not going to thank God for what the devil does to me. No, I'm going to thank God in that problem situation for the outcome that God's going to give. Amen. For the victory that God is going to give me. I'm going to be thankful in everything, not for everything. Okay, we cannot be foolish, right? We need to be smart as Christians. We need to be smart. We need to know what we need to do. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when we are not thankful, then we are not in the will of God. All right, so let's remember that now, because we know that in the will of God, that's where the blessing is. That's where the protection is. That's where the provision is. That's where the answered prayer is. It's in the will of God. So let's be careful not to step out of it by just going into complaining mode. My dad always said people develop habits of complaining. It's just a habit to complain about everything. And it's true. It's true. It's just natural for them to complain about everything. Well, the only one that listens to that's the devil. You're talking to the devil then. He likes that. He likes that when we talk to him. Well, that's not cool. Why do you want to talk to the devil? We're not going to talk to the devil. We're talking to God. Amen. That's the way to get out of situations and out of troubles and out of all kinds of stuff. And so that brings us to the third point. I want to spend a little bit of time here, and that's God's individual will for us, His specific will for me as an individual. Because we have the general will of God, as we said in the beginning. But then God has a specific will for every one of us that is unique for you and to you. And you get that from God. That's probably one of the most important things you can ever do, is find out what God's will is for you for this day, in this place, and in this moment. Because it can change. We'll get into that. But knowing the will of God, His specific will for my life, that is of the greatest importance for every one of us. We know, and you can go there if you want to, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. I guess most of us should know that verse by now. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformation is the change, the different way of thinking about things. You cannot change the way you live unless you change the way you think. Our lifestyle is a product of our thought lives. You cannot rise above your thoughts. So if you're not happy with where you're at, then you start by changing the way you think about things. Most of the time, you need to change the way you think about yourself. It's amazing how sometimes people think, well, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot do that, and I can. Well, you can. If God made you for a specific reason, you can do that. But you got to step out and start doing it in faith. You can't just sit there and wait till things change and then think, well, God will come along and change things. Well, no, that's not how faith works. You got to step out. You make it happen. You make it happen by start doing what you think you need to do, what you believe you have. You got to start doing. Then you'll see God come along and help you by opening the doors, by giving you the wisdom. Whatever you need will come. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But it all starts with changing the way you think. Some people need to change the way they think about God. Some people need to change the way they think about other people. Some people need to change the way they think about their spouse or their children. It all starts with changing the way we think. And says that's how we discover the will of God. You start there by changing the way you think. In our natural state, without God, we don't think like God. And we don't do the will of God naturally. For us to do the will of God, it's going to take something. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some change. It's going to take some thinking differently. For us to do the will of God, you've got to step out of your natural way of thinking and start thinking the thoughts of God as we find them written for us in the Bible. Changing the way we think. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Just finding God's specific will for us. Now, people say, well, that's a mystery. How can we know the will of God? How can it, when they spend their lives wondering about it, talking about it, praying about it, doing everything about it except doing it? Because it's such a deep mystery. How can any human being know the will of God? It's too deep a mystery. But I think God's a lot smarter than that. That he's not going to create you for a specific purpose and not tell you what it is. That's going to frustrate you and him. So God makes it easy for us to know what His will is. He makes it easy for us to know His will. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because I see too many frowns here. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will. God puts something inside you that you want to do. Now, if that something is to conform to the world, then you're wrong. Because He already said, don't conform to the world. If that something that you want to do is just to comfort the flesh and be kind to the flesh and let the flesh have its way, also, you're wrong. Because Romans 12, verse 1 says that we need to sacrifice our flesh, the cravings of the flesh, stuff like that. We need to sacrifice that as a living sacrifice. So we need to look deep into our heart, and find what God put in there that we need to do for Him. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. I find that's just such a simple way to discover what God wants us to do. It's amazing how God helps us to do that. It's amazing. Let me tell you something. It's absolutely astounding that when you begin to respond to that, to see how God comes along, just to see that, how God comes along. I find that often. That when I'm called upon to do something for God, the first thing that comes to my mind is not, well, I don't think I can do that. I'm not prepared for that. I didn't prepare. No, I just start out. And I'm amazed to see how God puts things together. I'm amazed. I'm telling you, I see that all the time. That how things just begin to flow. How things just open up, how understanding comes, and whatever we need, it just happens. It just happens. Obviously, God's not making it difficult for us. He's making it easy for us. We just need to step out in faith and start doing what God put inside of us. That's what we need to do. And so we begin to discover what God wants us to do. I've been in situations where most people probably freeze. If it's not God's will for them. Where I'm sitting there, and often that happened, where I'm sitting in a meeting and suddenly I'm called the one to preach. I'm called upon to preach. Well, I didn't go to preach. I didn't prepare to preach. I was not expecting to preach, but suddenly I'm called upon. Well, you can't say, well, no, I'm not ready for that, because we learn in the Bible that we need to be ready in season and out of season. That's the will of God. So what do? You get up. You get up and you walk to the front. You'll be surprised at God, what God will deposit inside of you as you begin to take the steps toward what God wants you to do. It just drops inside of you. It just drops inside of you. And suddenly, what seemed impossible and totally out of order becomes very orderly and organized. And you can just stand there and say, well, you know what? God did that. Because then you know that you know that you know it wasn't you. You know that. And that's what I find so amazing, and I find such a joy to do what I'm doing. Because I can see what God does. And I know it's Him. I know it's Him. So we look inside of us. Now, if you go looking for the will of God, don't buy a book. Don't go to the Christian bookstore. Don't look for a CD or a tape or something. Look inside of you. That's what it is. Look inside of you. Don't copy someone else, because that's the worst thing you can ever do. Don't copy someone else. You are unique. And God's will for you is unique as you are. And what you can do, nobody else can do, because you are uniquely equipped to do exactly that. And we find no greater joy than just doing that. We're not here to do people pleasure and you know. We're not here to seek the will of people. We're here to seek the will of God. And yeah, it'll be a little strange. But that's fine. That's fine. Now, you know, when we're young, we think, well, you know, we care a little bit about the opinions of people and so on. But as we walk with God, you find out the most important thing is to care about God's opinion. It doesn't matter what the people say. Most people didn't like Jesus either. They loved his ministry. They loved the miracles that he did. But when everybody says, let's crucify him, they all jumped in and said, let's crucify him. They just followed the crowd. They conformed to the world. And only a handful and some of his own inner circle dropped him. You know that. But so, let's be free to be who we were made to be. That's the greatest freedom you can ever have. You are unique, and you are exactly the way God wanted you to be, and you step into all of that and become all that God made you to be. That's the will of God. I find that when we're out to discover the will of God, is look at the talents that God gave you. Just look what he deposited inside of you. There are some gifts there. Now, some of them may be buried under layers and layers and layers of stuff, issues, and perceptions and opinions and things like that. And they need to be taken out and cleaned up, dusted off, and polished a little bit, and then put to use. Because you'll discover gifts inside of you that you never knew you had. You'll discover it's inside of you. It's inside of you. When I told my dad I have a call in my life to go in the ministry, he said, but you don't talk. And he was right. I never talked. But when I get behind the pulpit, I talk. And I'm not always looking for words. They just keep on coming. And because that's the way, you know, I had to discover it wasn't there visible, but it was in there. It was in there, but you got to take it out and do something with it. As long as it is buried, it's going to be buried. But the world's waiting on it. The world around you is waiting on it. Your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors are waiting on that gift inside of you. Can you have agreement on that one? Amen. Don't bury the talent that God gave you. Don't bury it. Use it. Come out with it. Everybody's waiting on it. We're all poorer for that if you just leave it buried. Everybody is looking for it. Everybody's looking for it. So come out with it. Now, having said all of that, the will of God, as we step into it, can follow a winding path. It will change. It can change. And I believe as we grow and as we step out in faith to do what God wants us to do, we'll find that God will lead us from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And things will change. You don't stay where you started. You know, we read of Philip in the book of Acts. Philip was elected to be a deacon to help with serving widows in the church. The church, he was one of the people that was elected to do that. A little later on, we find Philip is now an evangelist. He started out as a deacon, moved on to be an evangelist. It changed for him. And it will change for you also. And every time things change, then it's a promotion. It's a promotion that God gives you. He promotes you to the next level, to the next step. The proverb says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So, you know, when he talks about steps, he's talking about movement. He's not talking about standing there and just staying put, you know, and refusing to move. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about steps that you take, and God will order them. Now, God doesn't always show us the whole journey. He shows us the next step. Well, you've got to take the next step. If you can't see the whole journey, don't just sit there. You know, today we have GPSs, and we put in the destination where we're going, and there it pops up on the map, and we can see exactly the road that we follow. That's not the way God works. That's not the way faith works. Faith always takes that one step that God shows you. And when you're faithful in that, then he'll show you the next step. And that's how we follow him. And things can change. Things can change. You know, one of the things that we mentioned as the general will of God is that we should go into all the world and preach the good news and make disciples of people. And the Apostle Paul was just exactly doing that. That was a general will of God for him. But then, as he journeyed on and went from place to place, planning his next step, suddenly the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going there. He tried the next one. He says, no, you're not going there either. What was happening? Didn't God want the gospel to be preached there? Of course he wants. He wanted to, because he said, it's not my will that any should perish. But for that moment, in his life, God had something else for him to do. He showed him something else. He showed him the next step, and it was different from the step that he thought he had to take. What am I talking about? Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden. They were on their way there, but the Holy Spirit did not allow them to go. After that, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. They tried. They tried. Because they were just doing the general will of God for them. They were just preaching every. You can go. You know, I find it strange that some people say, especially when we talk among ministers, they say, well, I believe, I'm here, God put me here, and I'm not moving. Okay. If that's what God told you, and he keeps on telling you that, well, that's what you keep on doing. But if God says move, you better move. God says something else, you better get into something else. And so, here is what he was just doing, the general will of God, just preaching the good news, going into all the world, preaching as far as he went. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit stopped him, said, I got something very specific for you to do. You cannot go to Asia, you cannot go to Bithynia, but I have something else to do. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Specific will of God. The specific will of God. It changed. There was a great need in Macedonia, and they had to go there right away. They had to go there right away. They could not go to Bithynia at that time. That was something for someone else, or maybe another time, but for this time, that's where they had to go. They had to go to Macedonia. And so that's why we need to be in fellowship with him all the time. Because we can be so caught up in just doing the general will of God that we fail to hear the specific will of God and miss the will of God. And suddenly you find out the provision is drying up. Protection is not there anymore. Where's the blessing? We used to be so blessed. Where's the blessing now? Well, you stepped out of it when you refused to follow him. And you stayed in a place where you used to be blessed, but God moved on and you didn't. That's why we need to be in touch with him all the time. You got to hear his voice all the time. We need to be ready, just as Paul was, to change the plan. And just follow the will of God as he ordered his steps, one by one, showing him what to do. Now, number four, I'm almost done. God's ultimate will for everyone that overshadows everything that I said, even contains everything that I said, and much more than that, is for us to go back to where Adam was before he fell in sin. I want to say that again. God's ultimate will for every one of us is to go back to where Adam was before he disobeyed God and fell in sin. Because God made man in his image. That's his will, that his image will be seen in us. That's why the Apostle Paul at some stage made this statement and he said, I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. That's the big dream. When we take a few steps back and we look at the bigger picture, that is what we see. Christ be formed in us. That's the will of God for every one of us. Do you know? Today we call ourselves Christians. In the beginning, the world called the disciples Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. Why? Because they saw Christ in them. They said, well, you're just like Christ. You're Christian. They saw Christ in them, and that is where God is going with every one of us. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he says, my little children, I labor again and in prayer until Christ is formed in you. That's the big dream of God for every one of us. That Christ be formed in us. And that's what we need to pursue with everything we have, is to lay down our own life and let Christ live in us and through us. That's the dream of God. You know, Adam was made in the image of God. Through his own decision, and his own disobedience, he conformed to the image of the one that he obeyed. And that one was a fallen angel, and he became a fallen man. And God is not, that is not God's will for us. God's will for us is to have his image, to bear his image. Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will bear the image of the heavenly man. That's the goal. That's God's ultimate will for every one of us, that we will have the image of God in us. Now, lastly, there's a promise when we do the will of God. There's a promise. And I want us to go to 1 John, right at the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and I read from verse 15. First John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the promise now. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Well, we have all the reason to seek the will of God. There's what a wonderful promise. He who does the will of God abides forever. You don't have to fear the grave. You don't have to be scared of death. Because you do the will of God, you'll live forever. Amen. That's the will of God for us. That is his will for us, to live forever. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came, that we will live forever. He says, if you do the will of God, you will live forever. So let's seek the will of God. And not only be happy when we find it, let's do something about it. Let's do something about it in our prayer lives, in our relationships, in everything we do. Let's change the way we think about everything and say, well, I am here to do the will of God. I'm here to do God's will. That's why I'm here. I'm here to do God's will. God made me for this and this and this, and that's what I'll do. And I pursue this big dream of God, that Christ may be formed in me. The old Dutch translation says that the image of Christ may be established in you. The image of him be established in you. And that's God's dream for us. Let's do that as a church. Let's say that becomes our dream until Christ be formed in us. This world has nothing to offer. Let me tell you, you watch the news, you'll find that out very fast. It has nothing. It's bankrupt. It's bankrupt. It has nothing to offer. But we have an offer of eternal life and the presence of God, his provision, his blessing, his protection. When we do his will, our house will stand. When the winds come, when the storms come, the floods, our house will stand. Amen. Well, let's all stand to our feet. You know, when the word of God comes to us, we need to respond. We got to do something with it. It's not just there to keep us busy for a Sunday morning. No. God wants us to respond to that somehow. We need to do something with it. We need to do something with it. You need to find out and get going with it. And I believe the Lord's going to help us. He's going to help us to do just that. Let's pray. Father, we heard your word this morning. We saw what has been recorded for us. We see that you have things set aside for us that you want us to follow up on. Father, and I pray that in our hearts there will be that strong desire to do what you made us to do. That there will be that strong desire to find your will and be doers of it. That we will refuse to conform to this world and just blend with the world, but rather blend with you until the image of Christ can be seen in us. Touch every heart, I pray. Father, I pray that revelation will illuminate every heart this morning. Give us clear understanding of who we are and what we have in you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.